Welcome to Side B. 欢迎你来到 B 面。
Lesson 12.
Dear Laura, I just heard you tell an old story of gift-giving and unselfish love in your program. You doubted that such unselfish love would happen in today's world. Well, I'm here to give you hope. I wanted to do something very special for my 15-year-old son, who has always been the perfect child. He worked all summer to earn enough money to buy a used motorcycle.Then he spent hours and hours on it until it looked almost new. I was so proud of him that I bought him the shiniest helmet and a riding outfit. I could hardly wait for him to open up his gift. In fact, I barely slept the night before. Upon awakening, I went to the kitchen to start the coffee, tea, and morning goodies. In the living room was a beautiful keyboard with a note, "To my wonderful mother,All my love, your son." I was so astonished. It had been a long-standing joke in our family that I wanted a piano so that I could take lessons. "Learn to play the piano and I'll get you one," was my husband's response. I stood there shocked, crying a river of tears, asking myself how my son could afford this expensive gift. Of course, the house awoke,and my son was thrilled with my reaction. Many kisses were exchanged, and I immediately wanted him to open my gift. As he saw the helmet and outfit, the look on his face was not exactly what I was expecting. Then I realized that he had sold the motorcycle to get me the keyboard. Of course, I was the proudest mother ever on that day, and my feet never hit the ground for a month. So I wanted you to know,That kind of love still exists and lives even in the ever-changing world of me, me, me. I thought you'd love to share this story. Yours, Hillary. P.S. The next day, my husband and I bought him a new, used, already shiny motorcycle.
Lesson 13.
You are near the front line of a battle. Around you, shells are exploding.People are shooting from a house behind you. What are you doing there? You aren't a soldier. You aren't even carrying a gun. You're standing in front of a camera, and you're telling the TV viewers what is happening. It's all in a day's work for a war reporter, and it can be very dangerous. In the first 2 years of the war in former Yugoslavia, 28 reporters and photographers were killed. Hundreds more were injured.What kind of people put themselves in danger to bring pictures to our TV screens and stories to our newspapers? Why do they do it? I think it's every young journalist's dream to be a foreign reporter, says Michael Nicholson. That's where you find the excitement. So when the first opportunity comes, you take it, even if it is a war. But there are moments of fear. Jeremy Bowen says, Yes, when you're lying on the ground and bullets are flying past your ears, you think, What am I doing here?I'm not going to do this again. But that feeling goes after a while, and when the next war starts, you'll be there. None of us believes that we're going to die, adds Michael, but he always carries a lucky charm with him. It was given to him by his wife for his first war. It's a card which says, Take care of yourself. Does he ever think about dying? Oh, many times. And every time it happens, you look to the sky and say to God, If you get me out of this, I promise I'll never do it again.You can almost hear God laughing, because you know he doesn't believe you.
Lesson 14.
On May 27, 1995, our life was suddenly changed. It happened a few minutes past three, when my husband, Chris, fell from his horse as it jumped over a fence. Chris was paralyzed from the chest down, unable to breathe normally. As he was thrown from his horse,We entered into a life of convenience with lots of unexpected challenges. We went from the haves to the have-nots, or so we thought. Yet what we discovered later were all the gifts that came out of sharing difficulties. We came to learn that something wonderful could happen in a disaster. All over the world, people cared for Chris so much that letters and postcards poured in every day. By the end of the third week in a medical center in Virginia, about 35,000 pieces of mail had been received and sorted. As a family, we opened letter after letter. They gave us comfort and became a source of strength for us. We used them to encourage ourselves. I would go to the pile of letters marked with funny if we needed a laugh, or to the disabled box to find advice from people in wheelchairs, or even in bed living happily and successfully. These letters, we realize, had to be shared. And so here we offer one of them to you. Dear Chris, my husband and I were so sorry to hear of your riding accident last week. No doubt your family and your friends are giving you the strength to face this difficult challenge. People everywhere are also giving you best wishes every day, and we are among those who are keeping you alive. Yours sincerely, Nancy Reagan.
Lesson 15.
When I was 13, my family moved from Boston to Tucson, Arizona. Before the move, my father gathered us in the living room on a freezing January night. My sisters and I sat around the fire, not realizing that the universe would suddenly change its course. In May, we're moving to Arizona. The words, so small, didn't seem big enough to hold my new life. But the world changed, and I awoke on a train moving across the country. I watched the scene change from green trees to flat, dusty plains, to high mountains as I saw strange new plants that suggested mysteries yet to come. Finally, we arrived and settled into our new home. While my older sisters were sad at the loss of friends, I eagerly explored our new surroundings. One afternoon, I was out exploring as usual and saw a new kind of cactus. I crouched down for a closer look.
You'd better not touch that.
I turned around to see an old woman. Are you new to this neighborhood? I explained that I was, in fact, new to the entire state. My name is Ina Thorne. Have you got used to life in the desert? It must be quite a shock after living in Boston. How could I explain how I found the desert? I couldn't seem to find the right words. It's vastness, she offered. That vastness when you stand on the mountains overlooking the desert, you can sense how little you are in comparison with the world. Meanwhile, you feel that the possibilities are limitless. That was it. That was the feeling I'd had ever since I'd first seen the mountains of my new home. Again, my life would change with just a few simple words. Would you like to come to my home tomorrow? Someone should teach you which plant you should and shouldn't touch.
You're doing a terrific job.
Lesson 16.
It was the night before the composition was due. As I looked at the list of topics, the art of eating spaghetti caught my eye. The word spaghetti brought back the memory of an evening at Uncle Allen's in Belleville, when all of us were seated around the table and Aunt Pat served spaghetti for supper. Spaghetti was an exotic treat in those days. Never had I eaten spaghetti, and none of the grown-ups had enough experience to be good at it. What laughing arguments we had about the socially respectable method for moving spaghetti from plate to mouth. Suddenly, I wanted to write about that, but I wanted to put it down simply for my own joy, not for Mr. Flegel, my composition teacher. As for him, I would write something else. When I finished it, the night was half gone, and there was no time left to write a proper composition for Mr. Flegel. There was no choice next morning but to hand in my work. 2 days passed before Mr. Flegel returned the graded papers. He said, "Now, class, I want to read you a composition, The Art of Eating Spaghetti." My words. He was reading my words out loud to the whole class. Somebody laughed. Then the whole class was laughing with open-hearted enjoyment. I did my best not to show pleasure, but what I was feeling was pure happiness, for my words had the power to make people laugh.
Fantastic! I love this article. 我一向都喜欢完形填空。完形填空是高考、中考及四六级考题中最精彩的部分。大家一定不要怕，跟着五分钟系列，一定可以获得非常高分。OK, 我们请 Jim 老师把第一段快速读一遍。Quickly, paragraph one.
It was the night before the composition was due. As I looked at the list of topics, the art of eating spaghetti caught my eye. The word spaghetti brought back the memory of an evening at Uncle Alan's in Belleville when all of us were seated around the table and Aunt Pat served spaghetti for supper. Spaghetti was an exotic treat in those days. Never had I eaten spaghetti, and none of the grown-ups had enough experience to be good at it. What laughing arguments we had about the socially respectable method for moving spaghetti from plate to mouth. Suddenly I wanted to write about that, but I wanted to put it down simply for my own joy, not for Mr. Flegel, my composition teacher. As for him, I would write something else.
Great!Now, tell us this story with emotion.
It was the night before the composition was due. As I looked at the list of topics, the art of eating spaghetti caught my eye. The word spaghetti...brought back the memory of an evening at Uncle Alan's in Belleville, when all of us were seated around the table, and Aunt Pat served spaghetti for supper. Spaghetti was an exotic treat in those days. Never had I eaten spaghetti, and none of the grown-ups had enough experience to be good at it. What laughing arguments we had about the socially respectable method for moving spaghetti from plate to mouth. Suddenly, I wanted to write about that, but I wanted to put it down simply for my own joy, not for Mr. Flegel, my composition teacher. As for him, I would write something else.
More exaggeration! Go on!
When I finished it, the night was half gone, and there was no time left to write a proper composition for Mr. Flegel.There was no choice next morning but to hand in my work. 2 days passed before Mr. Flegel returned the graded papers. He said, Now, class, I want to read you a composition, The Art of Eating Spaghetti.
Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. My words. He was reading my words out loud to the whole class. Somebody laughed.Then the whole class was laughing with open-hearted enjoyment. I did my best not to show pleasure, but what I was feeling was pure happiness. For my words had the power to make people laugh.
Fantastic!
第三步，额外成就感。Number one,
bring back the memory of.
Sentence one.
These photos brought back the memory of the last summer holiday when I traveled to Hainan Island.
Sentence 2.
The story of Snow White brought back the memory of the play which she took part in when she was only 8 years old.
Number 2.
As for somebody, as for something.
Sentence 1.
As for Professor Huang, he is a very kind person.
Sentence 2.
As for your shirt, it doesn't match your jeans at all.
Number 3.
There is no choice but to. There was no choice but to.
Number 1.
There is no choice but to pay the bill.
Number 2.
There is no choice but to make a new plan.
Jim's contribution! Jim 老师的特别奉献。
Since I plan to stay in China for a few more years, there is no choice but to learn Chinese well.
Sing it, 唱出来。
Since I plan to stay in China for a few more years, there is no choice but to learn Chinese well.
Good job!
Lesson 17.
Tracy Wong is a well-known Chinese-American writer, but her writing skill was something she picked up by herself.After her first job, teaching disabled children, she became a part-time writer for IBM. Then, writing stories was simply a personal interest. Tracy sent 3 of her stories to a publisher. Interested, they immediately suggested that she put them together to make a single one-long story and paid Tracy a $500,000 advance. A pretty penny, said the publisher, for an unknown writer. Even though Tracy's characters are interesting, her stories sometimes leave readers uneasy, those about the supernatural. My mother believed I could connect with the afterlife world, she told a close friend. She used to have me speak with my grandmother, who died many years ago. Can I? I don't think I can, Tracy said with a laugh. But I do have moments when things come to me for no reason. Once, she was wondering how to complete a scene set in ancient China. Suddenly, the doorbell rang. It was a FedEx delivery man with a copy of a book on Chinese history. It came without her having ordered it. Though she has published 10 books, Tracy has remained unchanged by her fame. She lives in the same way she lived 27 years ago, although in a more comfortable home. There's more room for joy in her life, and it wasn't just writing.
Lesson 18.
My name's Jim Shelley, and I'm an addict. With these words, I began to face the problem of my telephone addiction. I used to call people all the time, from the moment I woke up to the time I went to sleep. I waited to be phoned. I wanted to phone. Just one more call. It started socially, a few calls each day. It seemed fine, just a quick chat. Gradually, though, the situation got worse. Soon, it was frequent use, until, finally, addiction. And it began to affect my work. During the day, I would disappear for a quick call. If I couldn't make a call, I spent the whole time waiting for the phone to ring. Getting more and more anxious, in the end, I would ring someone, then someone else, telling myself, just one more call. I was phoning people and leaving messages to make sure enough calls would see me through the day. I used to arrive at friends' homes and before the door was closed, go straight for the phone with the words, "Is it okay if I just use the phone?" At work, I became mad when my fellow workers tried to stop me from using the phone, and one day I hit my boss with the phone. Finally, the police caught me destroying a phone box that had taken my last one-pound coin, and I was ordered to see a psychiatrist. I haven't had a phone in the house for 3 weeks now, and it's several days since I used a phone box. I try not to watch TV, because there are always people on it making phone calls. My name is Jim Shelley, and I am an addict.
Lesson 19.
Don't take the fun out of youth sports. When I joined a private football league a few years ago, the sport meant everything to me. My coach said that I had lots of potential, and I became captain of my team. That was before all the fun was taken out of playing. At first, everyone on the team got equal playing time. Then the team moved up to the top division after winning all its games, and the pressure started. Some parents, who had paid the coach extra so their daughters could have private one-to-one training, got angry when she didn't give them more playing time in our matches. The coach was replaced. The new coach, however, took all the fun out of the game. All we did during practice was run. I always wished to God that it would rain, so we would not have the training. Of course, all teams run drills. They are necessary. But we ran so much that afterwards, we had trouble breathing. Younger people shouldn't be doing exercises intended for 18-year-olds. I was very thin before I started football, but as a member of this team, I wouldn't eat much because I was afraid of being too full to run. I feared making mistakes, and the added pressure caused me to make more than my usual share. Is all this pressure necessary? I ended up leaving the football team. Four other girls did the same, and two of them stopped playing football completely. That's sad, because they had so much potential. They were just burned out with all the pressure they felt from the coach or their parents. I continued playing football at school and rediscovered my love for it. I joined a private team coached by my school coach. When I started playing for him, he told me I needed to relax because I looked nervous. After I calmed down, I played better. When you enjoy something, it's a lot easier to do it well.
Fantastic! 棒极了!
Lesson 20.
Since my family were not going to be helpful, I decided I would look for one all by myself and not tell them about it till I'd got one. I had seen an agency advertised in a local newspaper. I rushed out of the house in search of it. I was wildly excited and as nervous as if I were going on the stage. Finding the place quite easily, I ran breathlessly through a door which said, "Enter without knocking, if you please." The simple atmosphere of the office calmed me. The woman looked carefully at me for a while through her glasses, and then questioned me in a low voice. I answered softly. All of a sudden, I started to feel rather hopeless. She wondered why I was looking for this sort of job. I felt even more helpless when she told me that it would be difficult to get a job without experience. I wondered whether I ought to leave when the telephone on her desk rang. I heard her say, "As a matter of fact, I've got someone in the office at this very moment who might suit." She wrote down a number and held it out to me, saying, "Ring up this lady. She wants a cook immediately. In fact, you would have to start tomorrow by cooking a dinner for 10 people. "Oh, yes," said I, never having cooked for more than 4 in my life. I thanked her again and again and rushed out to the nearest telephone box. I collected my thoughts, took a deep breath, and rang the number. I said confidently that I was just what she was looking for. I spent the next few hours reading cookbooks.
Hey man, you're making great progress.
你正在取得巨大的进步.
Let's go on to the next.
现在让我们学习下一个.